Thank you for your prayers, and thank you for praying for me to recover and get over this pneumonia and stuff like that. Don't forget to pray for me, because it's a little bit still in there, but y'all pray for it to get out. Amen? Amen. And I just want you to remember Miss Andrea in our prayers, Miss Andrea Andrews, and these beautiful flowers up here today are in honor of her mom. Her mom passed away, and we will be doing Miss Elsie Garrett services tomorrow here at 11 o'clock. So if you can be available and you can make it, please come and support the family. And ask Brother Jim and Miss Andrea. And Miss Andrea's mom went to be with the Lord. And thank God we know where she is. But we will be doing those services tomorrow here at 11 o'clock for them. So be in prayer for them. And don't forget, keep praying for the Revels families. And we've had several families, four families, that have lost loved ones over the past couple of weeks. And please remember them and uplift them and keep them in their prayers because they need it. And these times are tough times, but thank God for his love. Amen. And I've said it a ton of times. If it wasn't for faith, family, and friends, what would we have? If it wasn't for that. So you be in prayer for those. And if you can come and bring something to provide for the family, a meal and stuff like that, get with Miss Sharon, and she will take your name and tell you some instructions on what we're going to do to provide for them for tomorrow. But anyhow, we'll be looking at Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, and we'll look at verses 1 through 10 and talk about evangelism through the Spirit-filled church, evangelism, and several different ways to look at that. And enjoyed teaching the senior adult class today on evangelism. We had a great time back there, and we won't look at that today through the book of Acts and see what Peter and John were up to. Evangelism through a Spirit-filled church, Acts chapter 3. And verses 1 through 10. Go to the Lord with me in prayer. Our Father and our God, we are just thankful to the Lord. Thankful to be back in your house. Thankful to be serving you, God. Thank you for the excitement of the songs that we're saying, how we can come in here and worship you in spirit and in truth and lift our voices up, singing praises unto you, God. And Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for your sweet spirit here, the Lord. I thank you for filling this place today and filling our hearts with a time of praise and worship. God, I thank you for preparing us as we get into your word to talk about evangelism today. God, may you just fill us. May you take us over, the Lord. May you give us the words that you desire to say. May you fill our hearts and minds with the words to speak. Father, may we as your people be obedient to open up our ears and open up our mind and heart to receive your word and apply your word to our life, the Lord. God, may we not be the same people as what we walked in here as. May we be renewed, excited, refreshed, and revived. Father, being in your house today, and Lord, may your word go forward. May it accomplish that which is pleasing to you. God, may it cut where it needs to cut. May it pierce where it needs to pierce. May it convict us where we need convicting at. God, may we be renewed when we leave here today. God, we give this service to you. We pray your blessings upon it. Keep the devil at bay. Kick him away and kick him outside of here, the Lord. As Leonard said in prayer today, send him out there on the road somewhere so somebody can run him over. God, I just pray that you bind him up in the name of Jesus, the Lord, and let the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God have freedom to move today. God, we're going to thank you for what you're going to do. We give this service to you. Pray your blessings on it. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Spirit-filled church. And talking about evangelism out of Acts chapter 3, and verses 1 through 10 says this. It says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And we're going to get back to that in a minute and talk about the hour of prayer and the ninth hour and what it represents. It said, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John and said, look on us. Look on us. He says, follow me as I follow the Lord. I want you to look on us. And he said, and he gave heed unto them. That means he paid attention. He gave heed to them, expecting to receive something of them. You know, I have an expectation every time I come into these doors, an expectation of God and what God can do, and it's anticipating and expecting God to do something great, God to do something mighty, and I hope that that's our prayer today, that when we can come into the house of God, and we can come here with brothers and sisters in Christ, we can love on one another, fellowship with one another, have those friendships with one another, that we come with an anticipation, expecting God to do something big, expecting God to show up on the scene and do something that only God can do. So he said, and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand. Immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And I thought about this. I thought about evangelism through the Spirit-filled church and what God expects from us, and the anticipation that we have, and the excitement that when we come into God's house and we gather together, folks, we are to be filled with a life of anticipation, filled with excitement, filled with joy to be in God's house. Be excited about what God is doing. Have that anticipation and that expectation that God's going to do something big, that Jesus is in the house. Amen, Ronnie? Amen. Jesus is in the house. And when Jesus is in the house, he's in our house. David, he's in your house. When Jesus is in the house, expecting God to do something big, expecting him to show up, because we come to the house of God with an anticipation, with that excitement that we'll take off our coat and we'll undo our tie and we'll beat somebody up, you know, and had that anticipation, and they picked on me last Sunday. And throw that, you know. But having that anticipation, that excitement, that being in God's house, expecting God to do something big, expecting, if you come and you got a problem, and giving it to the Lord at the altar, or you come and you're burdened down with the burdens of this world that's been over this past week, that you can come and get renewed and revived and be in the house of God, that you come here and you've lost a loved one and things of that nature, but you got your family and friends here that you can gather around, lean on one another and encourage one another and exalt one another and be excited to be in God's house. Be excited with what God's going to do in anticipation. So if you're taking notes, number one, I want you to see the Spirit-filled church imparts expectancy. Imparts expectancy. Expectancy on your part and mine. Look back at verses 1 through 5. It says this. It said, now Peter and John, I'm giving my lungs a workout today. Y'all got to pray to that and get some fresh air renewed in it. I'm about to gasp up here. I can't help it when Jesus is in the house. Amen. It said, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Where else could you gather for prayer other than the temple and the houses of one another? But this is a house of prayer. Said they went up there. Said, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, and asked alms of them that entered into the temple. And seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked an alms. And then Peter, it says, fastened his eyes upon him with John and said, look on us. And in verse 5, look, it said, and he gave heed unto them, what? Expecting to what? To receive something of them. A Spirit-filled church imparts expectancy. It was the ninth hour, which is 3:00 in the afternoon, which was an unusual hour for the prayer for the Jews. It was their usual hour of praying. This is when they stopped and began to do business with the Lord. They stopped and began to pray at this time. But it has special significance to you and me as Christians, because it was the very hour in which Jesus had died on the cross, the hour which he cried out in John 19:30. What did he cry out? It is what? It is finished. In John 19:30, it said, and when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, what? It is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. And Jesus cried out in that time that it is finished. And he gave up the ghost. And Peter stopped. And he said in verse 4, it said, Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John and said, what? Look on us. He said, look on us. According to verse 5, this man was expecting to receive something from Peter and John. Look at verse 5 again. He said, and he gave heed unto them, what? Expecting to receive something of them. He was expecting to receive something. He did not know what he was going to get. He did not know what he was going to receive. He was going to receive something, all right, but he didn't know what he was going to receive. He was expecting to get something, but God had something in store for him. Now listen to me. You must be expecting something from him. Peter and John knew what they had received, and they were expecting something to happen. You and I, as children of God, we know what we have received, and we must come into God's house expecting to receive something, expecting to give something in. If we're going to receive anything, it requires us to give something. It requires us to give something back if we're going to receive anything. This raises this man's level of expectation. Those who have received his power are to expect to use his power. God gave you and me power, and we need to use it for his honor and glory. We must help people raise their level of expectancy, and God will meet us at our level of expectancy. We must be people that encourage one another, build one another up, and lean on one another, encouraging one another. Right, Zach, man? Zach, man likes Pac-Man. Right, Zach, man? We must be those that encourage one another, those that live a life of expectancy, expecting something. Y'all just looking like Pastor Tim fit to knock us out. Expecting to receive something from us. The youth love me. They just don't never know what's going to happen when I show up. You know, expecting to receive something, expecting to give something. I got friends that come all the way back from Ohio to see me today. Amen. Hey, anybody drove as far as Ohio to get here today? You got the record driving all the way from Ohio. Expectancy. But guess what? They drove all the way from Ohio expecting to receive something from God's word today. Amen. Amen. Expecting. Expectancy. Raising the level of expectancy with one another. You know, I say all the time, we ought to she's looking at me like you fixing to zap me. Raising the level of expectancy of one another. That, you know, I can come here and I can grab you. Say, come on. Come on with me. And grab her up. Pick her. Come on with me. Grab her up and pick her up with me. You see, it only took two times. And link arms and arms together. Come on, Mr. Neal. Grab up. A level of expectancy. Maybe you come here, maybe you're weak today. Maybe you come here and you couldn't do nothing. But you got people on both sides of the aisle that are children of God. You got people that are Christians in the house of God coming to expect to receive something of God. And when you lock arms and arms together and you move forward, you can make it through anything that life brings you and anything that comes your way. Thank you, darling. Thank you, Miss Neal. You can make it. You can make it. As children of God, when you link together, you are to have that expectancy. That expectancy that you can lean on one another, right, Miss Karen? Yes, that you can lean on one another. That you can depend upon one another. I'm hurting. I need some prayer. And I know if I ask Miss Karen to pray for me, she'll do that. I know if I want my voice out this morning, I can say, Brother Leroy, can you preach tonight? He'll be there, and he'll do that. And I know, thank you, Leonard. He knew I need some water in a minute. You know, expectancy, when I preach, I know I'm going to get something. Amen. Amen. You know, and just like Brother Bill, been in the ministry for 50 years, and I've surrounded myself with people that have been in the ministry for 120 years. Thank the Lord. And maybe one day they'll rub off on me and I'll be worth something one day. Amen. But level of expectancy, exciting, building one another up, encouraging one another, expecting to receive something. A spirit-filled church imparts expectancy. It gives it, and when you feel, it gives it out, expecting something to give out and to receive. Imparts that. Not only that, not only does a spirit-filled church impart expectancy, but number two, a spirit-filled church imparts healing. Imparts healing. What is healing of the soul? Healing physically or whatever. This is a healing place. Restoring relationships or whatever it is. It ought to be in the house of God that takes place. Where healing comes about. Where healing is. Oh, listen, look at verse 6 and 7. It says this. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, lifting him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Just as I grabbed Mr. Neal and the young lady and told them to come with me, picked them up, and they walked. We joined hands and hands together, and we can conquer anything with a level of expectancy when we can do it in Jesus' name. We got to have that level of expectancy, trusting and believing in him, giving it to him, because greater is he that is in you than he that's of this world, and we can conquer anything in Jesus' name. But we got to live in a level of expectancy, a level of expectancy. I know times are tough. Listen to me. I know the economy bad. I understand that. This administration that's leading us is a joke. I understand that too. Amen. But I understand all that stuff. I won't preach on him today. I'll leave that for next week. Anyhow, I understand. Oh, that's a joke. I understand the economy's a joke. I understand all that stuff, my friends. And I understand that even here that, you know, we suffer in offerings and tithes. But listen, I live in a life of expectancy, believing and trusting God that he knows exactly what the need is in your life. He knows exactly what the need is in this church's life. And in the expectancy that I live in God, he's going to take care of both spectrums for you and me. Amen. A life of expectancy, living in that is God's, and he's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of me, and he's going to take care of the life of the church. A spirit-filled church imparts healing. The minute that Peter had this man's attention, he did two things. He first admitted he was bankrupt in material things. He said, I don't silver and gold. Have I none? He said, I'm going to let you know. I know you're expecting something of me, but I don't have no silver and gold. He told him, first of all, he admitted his bankruptcy. He says, silver and gold have I not. It's not that he demonstrated in inadequacy, but he didn't have it to give. But he says, but what I do possess, I give unto you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Arise up and walk. He said, I give to you what I have. He couldn't give what he didn't have, but what he have, he gave. And he gave Jesus. Oh, not only that, but 2 Peter 1:4. And 2 Peter 1:4 says we are part of his divine nature. It says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great promises, that by these that you go ahead, put it up there, I'm following you, but you by partakers of what? The divine nature. The divine nature, having escaped, that's the first time you outran me, having escaped the corruption that is of the world through lust. Amen. I give them a fit back there on that board trying to keep up with me as fast as I talk. She outrun me today. Amen. Give her a hand in the back. Amen. You know, the divine nature. We have that divine nature of the Lord that he gives us, that we're partakers of him, having that divine nature of him, that we can impart the power of Christ. Why? Because we are full of Christ. We are full of Christ. To be able to impart the divine nature that Christ has us, we can depart that because we are partakers of Christ and partakers of what he's done. Oh, listen, the apostles did not have silver or gold, but they had the power of God. What we need are not possessions, but power. Amen. How about power? Power. Power to touch people's lives with the presence of the living God. Power to reach out to people and lift them up in tragic circumstances and give them a hope and give them a healing and give them a friendship and give them a future and give them fellowship. This was a ministry of a spirit-filled church, my friend, and this is part of a church that I'm so thankful to be a part of here that comes together in times like these and imparts healing with people, imparts love to them. He took him by the right hand, it said, and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, it says. He lifted him up, verse 7 says, and he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. The church with a Pentecostal power, listen to me, must raise the level of expectations to become the instruments of the healing power of God. If we're going to be that Pentecostal power church that God spoke about in Acts, then we're going to have to raise our level of expectancy to do things great and mighty for God. We got to raise our level of expectancy, our level of faith in God. And my friends, when you and I raise that level of expectancy and we raise that level of faith, watch out, because God can do some great and mighty things, miraculous things, which he's already done in the midst of us. But we got to raise that level of expectancy, that level of expectation needs to be raised. Not only that, but number 3, the spirit-filled church imparts joy. The spirit-filled church imparts joy. It ought to be a joy to come in the presence of God. It ought to be a joy to come in the house of God. It ought to be a joy to come fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ that are like-minded, having one mind and one accord. And that's to raise the level of expectancy of all of us when it comes to serving Jesus and worshiping him. Oh, the spirit-filled church imparts joy. Look at verse 8. It said, and he leaping up stood, and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. It says, and he leaping up, he walked and entered into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. This man who had never walked in his life. My friend, can you imagine when he received strength to his legs? Can you imagine what he was doing? Can you imagine? Thank you, Lord, I got strength, I can stand up. Thank you, Lord, I got strength. I couldn't walk for years, but God, now I can stand up. Thank you, Lord, I appreciate that. I'll go on my way. Where y'all at? Where y'all at? Y'all done fell asleep on me or what? I need to come out here and jump in your lap somewhere? Huh? Are y'all sleeping? Let me look around here. Y'all sleeping? Is that what he said? Y'all sleeping around here? Wake up. What's wrong with you, boy? What are you doing, man? You awake? Huh? Get up. What did he do? Is that what he did? He received strength in his legs, and what did it say? He leaped up, didn't he? He running. He was jogging. He was jogging, right, Brad? He leaped up, right?
Amen.
Come on, big boy.
Oh, no,
let's go. Come on. He leaped. Let's skip. He leaped up, didn't he? He was hopping all the way around, man. He was jumping. He was running. He was having a good time. Woo! Woo! That's what I'm talking about right there. That's what I'm talking about right here. He was leaping. See, y'all think that I can't get nobody to do nothing. Y'all just hang around a while. I can get you any of you to do anything. He was leaping. He was hopping. He was jumping. He was excited. Why? Because God had done something great and mighty in his life. Oh, as children of God, as Christians, listen to me. We got something to be excited about. We got something to be excited about. We got Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that saved our life. We got something to be excited about. We got something worth hopping about, something worth shouting about, something worth saying amen about. I know we're Southern Baptist. I know we're Baptist. And the majority of the Baptists are deadbeat. And act like they're 110 years old. And afraid to say amen. And afraid to raise their hands. Afraid to praise God and skip down the hall. You know, but not at Crossroad. Amen. Oh. Why? Because we serve a risen Savior that's alive and well. Amen. One that's changed my life and changed your life. Oh, we serve one that is alive and well. This man was changed. Not only was he healed, but joy flooded his soul. The scripture says, then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God because someone cared enough to reach out to him in the name of Jesus. Someone cared enough to him to lift him up, my friend, and pray for him. Somebody lifted him up, and his life was transformed. Ah, what does this mean to him? It means now that he could walk. It means now that he could work. It means now that he could provide for his family. It means a lot of things to this man that was lame and begging. My friend, God changed his life. God brought healing into his life. God brought joy into his life. Oh, it meant a lot of things, my friend. It meant somebody cared. It meant that God loved him. It meant that he was healed in more ways than one. He could help. He who could help but rejoice when you have such a thing like that happen in your life. And listen to me. He was walking and leaping and praising God. And he was excited, my friend. And I tell you, it's okay to be excited about Jesus. Were you in a Baptist church? Were you in a Catholic church? Were you in a Mormon church, Episcopalian church, or whatever church? It's okay to be excited about Jesus. Amen. Oh, listen to me. Oh, I said it a bunch of times. It's not about religion. You can have all the religion you want and die and go to hell. It's not about religion. Oh, it's not about baptism. My grandpa used to say, you can be baptized from here to New Mexico and every water hole between there and then to every tadpole between there and here knows your social security number and die and go to hell, because it's not about baptism. It's about a personal relationship with Jesus. Amen. That's what makes us excited. That's what's exciting about serving God. It's a personal relationship with Him. You can have all that other stuff you want, but I want people sold out for Jesus. Amen? I want people sold out for Jesus. I want people on fire for the Lord. And that Spirit-filled church imparts joy. It's a joy to come in God's house. It's a joy to celebrate with brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a joy to get you a part of the message that you didn't know was coming. It's a joy to see your face. It's a joy to see Brad skipping down the middle of an aisle. Amen. It's a joy. It's a joy. You just don't know what you miss when you ain't here. You miss a whole lot more of that on Sunday night and Wednesday, so y'all better come check it out. Oh, listen. It's exciting. It's exciting, man. It's almost as exciting as these 50,000 instruments that Jamer's got for that electric guitar up here. It's exciting. You know, the lights are flashing everywhere. And I think about the joyous light that Jesus has shown on us. And those lights that are flashing down on us. Oh, the Spirit-filled church imparts joy. It makes it exciting to be a part of God. Not only that, but the Spirit-filled church imparts wonder. The Spirit-filled church imparts wonder. Look at verse 9 and 10. It said, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with what? Wonder. And what? Amazement at that which had happened unto him. They were filled with wonder and amazement. I ate so much salt last night, it's running in my eyes, about to burn me up like I'm blending in the ocean somewhere. Oh, listen. Listen. If salt loses its flavor, wherewith it is worth tasting anyhow. Amen. Oh, listen, the Spirit-filled church imparts wonder. It imparts that. In verse 10, it said, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms. If somebody turn on the heater around here, y'all better turn on the air if y'all did. Imparts wonder. The beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at which had happened unto him. Filled with wonder. It said all the people saw him walking and praising. It said, and they knew it was him that sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. They were filled with wonder and amazement at what just happened to him. There was an immediate twofold effect. These people, my friend, were convinced that it was God at work. Not only that, my friend, at that miracle they knew was done in the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. They knew that that miracle was done in the name of Jesus. People saw it, and they were convinced that God was at work, and they were prepared to listen to the explanation. When you and I are excited about Jesus, and we're a part of a Spirit-filled church, thank you, Shane, we're part of a Spirit-filled church, God knows, my friend, and it shows in your life. It shows in my life, and it draws attention from outside. The people want to come inside and see what God's got going on. Amen? They get excited. Amen? Well, one of you's excited. Thank you, Rick, for being excited. You know, it draws attention that people want to come see what God is doing on the inside. Amen? Oh, listen. Listen, this Spirit-filled church imparts wonder. People say, what's going on down there? Something's going on. Yeah, there's a little short, tiny pastor that goes crazy and runs all over the church. And that gets excited about Jesus, and he gets everybody else excited because if they don't, he yanks them up and drives them down the aisle. It's exciting about what God is doing. Exciting about what he's doing. Last but not least, the Spirit-filled church imparts a witness. Imparts a witness. Look back at verse 9 and 10 again. Verse 9 said, and what? All the what? People saw and walking and what? Praising God. And they what? Knew that it was he which sat for the alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with what? They were filled with wonder and what? Amazing at that which had happened unto him. A Spirit-filled church imparts a witness. As you've already noted that, what this man needed indeed, and what all the people needed was a heavenly touch from God. We all need a touch from the Lord. Amen. We all need a heavenly touch from God. What this lame man needed was the power of the Holy Spirit made available to him. And my friends, you and I have that power to make it available to people. We need to be sharing that with others. Oh, listen, how'd he get it? He couldn't get to church. And I'm not sure that he could have made it if he could have. Why should he go? What is there for him? Unfortunately, it's a lot of attitude today. They hurt, but people hurt in silence. My friends, we're here to help you in open. We're here to help you with what God wants you to do. Oh, listen, how can you be a witness? Number one, first, God has to do a work in your life. God has to work in your life. God does something. God changes a life, and God does something that only God can do that man cannot do at all. Then number two, then man explains what God did. How do you be a witness? Let God do what only God can do. And when God changes the heart, then all we can do is explain it. Explain what God done. And the person to whom it happened says, what happened to you? When I got saved, everybody in five counties said, what happened to you? My mama sitting on the front row right here. And my mama's 4'10". And she's sitting up here. This is my mama. And my mama loved me. But I can tell you right now, it didn't matter if you were 6'10" and 300 pounds. I whooped you at one time. Mama had to get me from the sheriff's department or call up to the Handyway food store, and I had five of them crawled up underneath their vehicle begging them to come back out. She'd been called to me a lot, but guess what? She loved me, and she never gave up on me. She loved me, and she never gave up on me. I'm surprised her hair ain't gray, and she still got color in it because she's still paying for doctor bills for me and fighting. And surgeries and stab knifing and hitting over the head. Listen to me. Y'all don't know how close I come to dying one day. I got in a fight, and my mama can tell you, I got hit over the head with the butt of a pistol. Split my head wide open. She had to take me to the doctor and get me 7 stitches. Good thing it was the butt of it, not the point of it. You know? Yeah, I've been there. But why'd I say that? If God can change me, he can change any of you. God can change me, he can change any of you. If God can change me, he can change any of you. And don't try me because I ain't forgot what I used to know. Put that out there too. Hey, Brother Leroy said in scripture that God said turn the cheek one time. He didn't say what to do the second time. I can tell you what's going to happen the second time. There's going to be a meeting arranged with you and Jesus because I ain't going there. Yeah. Oh, listen to me. I've been telling people we got our concealed weapons permits and all that stuff. And this society and this administration and everything that's going on, I said I'd much rather be judged by 12 than carried by 6. Amen? Amen. Amen. Oh, listen to me. God's in control, folks. And I say this to say this. One day we're going to be judged. And how are we going to be judged? Well, we're going to be judged. God has something in store for you and me, folks. God has something in store for us. Everyone needs a touch from God. Trust me, I needed one. And thank God he gave me one. Amen. Oh, listen to me. What does Peter say in 1 Peter 3:15? 1 Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in where? Folks, it starts right here. Letting God get a hold of your life and get a hold of your heart and do a transformation in your heart that only God can do. Heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man. That's evangelism. Let God change your heart, and then you be able to be a witness anywhere you go. Anywhere you go, and answer every man that asks you a reason of the hope. People are wanting hope, folks. And we got the hope. It's called Jesus. That is in you within meekness of fear. Give it all to the Lord. Oh, listen to me. Are you like this lame man? Are you here today and don't feel like you can put one foot in another? Are you here today and feel like, man, you're beaten down, you can't even stand up? Are you here today like the lame man? Perhaps you've been laying at the gate looking for help. You don't, listen to me, you don't expect any more than a friendly hand or a little help along the line. Maybe you're here and you're looking for that today. Jesus is extending his hand to you. He wants to extend his hand of help to you today. If you will take it, I promise you, he'll change your life for all eternity. Oh, listen to me. And he'll give you so much more. He'll give you so much more. If you were here to amaze the name of Jesus, all that God has, he wrapped up in that one name and made available to you and me. You can rise up and walk today. You can be leaping and praising God. You can have that today if you give it to the Lord. If you give it to the Lord. Oh, listen, Jesus is here today standing at your heart's door knocking. He's knocking at your heart's door. All he wants you to do is open it up and come in. Maybe you're here and you've been looking for a church home for a while. When are you going to join a fellowship? When are you going to get into a body of Christ that loves the Lord? There's nothing like the family of God. You've been searching long enough. It's time for you to make a decision. It's time for you to make a decision. What about it today? Maybe you're here and God's knocking at your heart and you know you're not where you need to be. Folks, you're needing some hope. You need some help. You needing a touch from the Master's hand. He's here today to lend you a touch. Would you just reach out and grab his hand today? He wants to change your life, transform your life. Maybe you've never been saved. Oh, won't you come forward? We got others that have gathered around you, pray for you, share in the scripture what you must do to be saved and how you can invite Jesus to be Lord of your life. Listen, as I said, a lot of times in the funerals I do, your life is but a vapor. Appear for a little while and vanish away. Appear for a little while and vanish away. You know, at Jared's funeral. My life was touched. Tony, your family blessed my life. I know that you say we bless yours. But when you can arrive up on a scene of a tragic accident that just happened, in a family to say God must have had better plans for him. Amen. Without pointing fingers is amazing. Yeah. And you go to Miss Garrett, as we would often go see her, to minister to Miss Garrett. She always ministered to me. She always loved me, had a smile on her face, and all that. You know, life is short, folks. As I read at Jared's funeral about the dash, the dash in life, as I talked about his life, how his life had impacted thousands of people's lives that were here. Everybody in this room, folks, has a date of birth. Everybody in this room, if God tarries his coming, is going to have a date of death. And that dash is what separates those two dates. What can people say when they look at your life on how you lived your dash? You have an impact on people's lives. Miss Garrett had an impact on hundreds and hundreds of people's lives and youth. They were in children's church and teaching youth and everything. Jared had an impact on thousands and thousands of people's lives. You and I, whether you think about it or not, we have an impact on people's lives.